Good afternoon, 4:30 and 85 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
We certainly subsidize our bus system to the tune of $2,000 a day that the taxpayers do to keep it funding.
Ashland Commissioner Kevin Gunderson says he's concerned about the future of the city's bus system if Congress reduces support for mass transit.
A Lewis County man drowns at Carter Caves.
And House Speaker Greg Stumbo pushes major road construction projects for eastern Kentucky during a trip to Washington.
In sports, two persons have been inducted into the Moorhead State Athletic Hall of Fame.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
It'll be partly cloudy tonight with isolated showers likely, low in the 70s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A 48-year-old Emerson man drowned Sunday night at Carter Caves State Resort Park. WSAZ is reporting that Marty Richmond's body was pulled from Smoky Valley Lake shortly before 9 o'clock. Authorities say he was swimming about 20 to 25 feet from shore when he went under. Rescue squad searched for the victim for about 2 hours before his body was located.
A teenage boy who was hit by a train Friday afternoon in Floyd County has died from his injuries. 14-year-old Willie Lee Salisbury was pronounced dead at 5:56 p.m. Friday at St. Joseph Martin Hospital, according to Floyd County Coroner Greg Nelson. State Trooper Brian Lane tells WIMT that Salisbury was walking along train tracks near the Hueysville community around 2 p.m. on Friday when a CSX train hit him.
The engineer and the conductor gave several warnings by horn, and they didn't have a lot of sight distance to first pick him up to actually see him on the tracks.
Security camera footage reveals that Salisbury was wearing headphones and looking down at an electronic device at the time of the collision.
A civilian contractor has been killed in an accident at the Kentucky National Guard Center in Frankfort. Here's Will Clark.
Kentucky National Guard spokesman David Altum says the accident happened at the Boone National Guard Center in Frankfort.
One civilian contractor was killed and another injured when a historical boom lift collapsed and fell.
Altum says the injured worker was airlifted to UK Medical Center in Lexington. He says the workers were installing siding on an aircraft hangar at the facility. I'm Will Clark.
House Speaker Greg Stumbo was among those who were at the White House last week to push for some key highway projects in eastern Kentucky. The Prestonsburg Democrat wants to see the Mountain Parkway extended to Beckley, West Virginia. Stumbo is also calling for using the Hal Rogers Parkway and State Route 80 to create another interstate quality corridor that would better link London to Beckley through Prestonsburg.
Commerce cannot flow to the east from where we are. The only way we can really go is west. All roads have to start somewhere. It's kind of like the old saying, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. So we've taken, I think, more than the first step.
Stumbo met with former Lieutenant Governor Jerry Abramson, who is now Deputy Assistant to the President.
Covington's Vice Mayor says an alternative to tolls must be found to pay for replacement of the Brent Spence Bridge that links his city with Cincinnati. Steve Frank says funding a new bridge with user fees is a dead issue. He spoke with CN2's Pure Politics.
If you want tolls, I'm sorry, you've lost. It's over. You know, your governor, he's not going to be here next year. Governor Beshear was the only one pushing tolls on this side of the bridge. I have two governor candidates, one on the Republican side and one on the Democrats, and neither one of them want to breathe a word about being in favor of tolls or they'll lose up here in Northern Kentucky.
Frank says if tolls were imposed to pay for a new bridge, thousands of cars would simply cut through Covington's side streets and cross the river on the Clay Wade Bailey Bridge.
City Commissioner Kevin Gunderson says Ashland's bus system is vital to the city's future, and he's a little worried about congressional support for mass transit going forward. He says the city's own representative in Washington has doubts about the expenditure, so Gunderson isn't convinced that federal funding will always be there.
We don't. In fact, Congressman Thomas Massey, our local congressman here, has indicated he wants to cut funding for mass transit, sidewalks. These are matters for concern.
Gunderson says Ashland's buses get people to work and are a lifeline for low-income residents of the city. He says Ashland already subsidizes the system to the tune of about $2,000 a day, and federal cuts would jeopardize the service.
A ceremonial bill signing is bringing awareness to a change in Kentucky's child booster seat law. The ceremonial signing of House Bill 315, a bill that puts Kentucky in line with 31 other states' booster seat laws, comes just ahead of enactment of the bill. Kentucky Children's Hospital spokeswoman Sherry Hannon says the bill requires children under 8 years old and less than 57 inches tall to be in a booster seat, a move that advocates say reduces the risk of injury to a child in an accident by 60%.
If a kid was sitting there in an adult seatbelt, that those belts would be up on their neck, on that soft tissue, causing injury when that belt tightens down in a crash. To think that we have done something to better protect them, to reduce injury, to reduce the chance of a fatality, is huge.
Starting June 24th, law enforcement will issue $30 citations to violators or give them the opportunity to buy a booster seat instead of paying the fine.
Legislation pre-filed for the 2016 General Assembly would strengthen Kentucky's drunk driving laws. The story from Tom Latek.
The bills by Representative Kelly Flood of Lexington and Senator Dennis Parrott of Elizabethtown would address those with multiple DUI convictions by increasing the look-back period from 5 to 10 years before they drop off an offender's record. Mad Kentucky's Rosalind Donald supports the bill.
There's plenty of people who are kind of scraping by with needed charges, and people are losing their lives because of that.
Lawmakers convene in January. I'm Tom Latek.
Kentucky Congressman Ed Whitfield says all of the Commonwealth's major urban areas would be non-compliant with proposed new federal ozone standards from the EPA. The Christian County Republican chairs the House Energy and Power Subcommittee. Whitfield says if the rule is lowered from 75 parts per billion to 70 or 65, it's possible that nearly two dozen counties would not meet the standards.
In Kentucky, we're going to have 11 more counties in noncompliance at 70. We're going to have 23 more at 65. And every major city in Kentucky will be in noncompliance at some of these levels.
Whitfield says the National Association of Manufacturers has estimated that lowering the ozone standard to 65 parts per billion would cost about $140 billion annually. He made his comments at a hearing in Washington last week.
Morehead State University's president thinks sustainable agriculture and tourism initiatives can play a key role in restructuring the economy of eastern Kentucky. Dr. Wayne Andrews is a member of Shaping Our Appalachian Region's Futures Committee. He says producing healthier foods for businesses and family just makes good sense all around.
I think we could impact through SOAR in the region the way people think about sustainable agriculture and doing things for their family and their community where they have access to fresh fruit and vegetables, which will make their lives richer and will be healthier.
Andrew says many more eastern Kentuckians could be raising their own food instead of buying everything from the supermarket.
Ohio's county fairs deserve state support because they provide valuable services to their communities, and many of their facilities are in need of repair. So says Daryl Cubison of the Ohio Fair Managers Association. He says the fairs offer free services like health screenings every summer and are only able to do so because they're supported by thousands of volunteers. However, Cubison says many county fairs have infrastructure needs they simply can't meet.
Economic realities have not allowed many fairs to make a type of investment in their grounds as they sorely needed. Support from the state will go a long way and be very appreciated.
Cubison testified before the Senate Finance Committee.
Kentucky has restricted the sale and movement of birds in response to a national outbreak of avian influenza. Rob Wallace has served as a consultant on bird flu for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. He says the poultry industry is a $1.2 billion enterprise in the Commonwealth, and the outbreak has so far decimated hundreds of poultry operations in more than a dozen states. Wallace says the outbreak is also a possible threat to human health.
Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen, because there are plenty of avian influenzas that have emerged and that have not gone to going human to human. However, there are many examples in which that indeed has happened, even within the last 10 years.
Wallace calls for a change in the production model for the poultry industry, saying the current influenza outbreak was destined to happen with its current setup.
Kentucky Education Association President Stephanie Winkler will travel to Florida for the National Education Association Representative Assembly later this month. That's where officials will trade ideas on a number of challenges facing school systems across the country, including stubborn achievement gaps like the ones facing the Fayette School District. Last month, State Education Commissioner Terry Holliday warned the district it could face state action if it fails to devote more resources to low-achieving schools. But Winkler says the problem is not limited to Lexington.
The majority of our priority schools that we have right now in our state are centered in Jefferson and Fayette counties, and those are our most urban areas. But there's still students in every other 171 school districts in the state, so we just need to really zero in on every child and making sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure they're each successful.
Holliday met with Fayette officials last week in the hopes of crafting a plan to address achievement gaps throughout Kentucky.
There's a new resource for Kentuckians who are raising children by relatives or close family friends. Suzanne Duvall has the story.
A new kinship support hotline provides kinship relatives the chance to talk about problems or ask questions. It's from the State Department for Community-Based Services. Commissioner Teresa James says kinship care is an alternative to foster care.
These kids often would need therapy, would need services and support.
The kinship support hotline is 877-565-5608. The hotline is staffed 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
The World Championship of Skateboard Racing will be held in Ashland this fall. Pogue Landing Days Chairman Phil Stewart says the International Slalom Skateboarding Association has chosen the Boyd County community as the site for Cone Fest 10. He says it'll be held September 18th through the 20th in downtown Ashland.
Should have 100 racers from all across the world coming in to participate in a three-day event, and we're excited about having them this year.
Stewart says the race will take place in conjunction with Ashland's annual fall festival.
And finally, a Greenup County fiddler will soon have his name added to the list of legendary musicians who once lived along the country music highway. The Independent reports a ceremony will be held on Wednesday in Lloyd to celebrate Jason Carter getting his own road sign installed on U.S. 23. The road is known as the Country Music Highway. The 42-year-old Carter is known for sharing stages with bluegrass music legend Del McCurry and the Traveling McCurrys. The public is invited to join Carter, State Senator Robin Webb, and other elected officials at the 11 a.m. ceremony. Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies. You can expect a 20% chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms. Lows around 70 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll be partly sunny. A 60% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms and highs around 85. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy. A 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms and lows around 68. On Wednesday, it'll be partly sunny. We'll see a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms again and highs in the upper 80s. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of rain, areas of valley fog developing towards dawn, and lows again in the upper 60s. On Thursday, it'll be partly sunny, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs around 88. That night, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, and lows around 68. On Friday, it'll be partly sunny, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms with highs in the mid-80s. Friday night, partly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms and lows in the upper 60s. And at the start of the weekend on Saturday, expect mostly sunny skies, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, and highs once again around 85 degrees. And it is currently 85 in Ashland. It's sitting at 82 in Flemingsburg, 89 in Inez, 85 in Lexington, and also 85 here on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:45, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's good to be with you on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, a one-day snapshot of Kentucky domestic violence services taken last fall shows requests for help are going unmet. The executive director of the Kentucky Coalition Against Domestic Violence says that relates to a budget gap. The Kentucky News Connection's Dan Hyman reports.
In a single day, last September 10th, the state's 15 domestic violence programs provided services such as safe shelter, counseling, and legal services in nearly 1,000 instances. But Sherry Currens with the Kentucky Coalition Against Domestic Violence says they could not meet nearly 100 requests for help. She says two of the largest shelters were facing repairs that reduced available space by a third.
Our shelter in Ashland had to have a complete renovation, so they went from 50 to about 17 for most of last year.
Curran says the maintenance issues are related to budget pressure that's also squeezing staff levels. The National Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-800-799-SAFE. Dan Hyman reporting.
It is 4:47. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. The latest national and international news is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon on NPR's All Things Considered. You will not have to wait that long for sports, though. Michael has it in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Carter County Shrine Club and Grayson Tourism, hosting the 25th Annual Shriners Bluegrass Festival, July 16th through 18th in Olive Hill, Kentucky. 3 days of bluegrass music with Larry Sparks, Ronnie Reno and Reno Tradition, Ralph Stanley II, Tommy Webb, Dale Ann Bradley, Hammertown, Hazel Holler Band, and more. Camping, food vendors, and cover tent at stage area. Tickets and more information at 606-286-4611 and online at ShrinersBluegrassFestival.com.
The Reds are off to Motown. Good afternoon, I'm MSPR's Michael Gustin with the Midday Sports Report. The Cincinnati Reds will look to get back on track tonight in Detroit after losing 3 out of 4 to the Chicago Cubs. The Reds will send right-hander John Moscott to the mound, who is making his first career road start against the Tigers. Last time out, Moscott notched his first career win at Great American Ballpark against the Phillies, allowing 2 earned runs over 6 innings of work. Opposing Moscott will be right-hander Anibal Sanchez with a 4-7 record and a 5.16 earned run average. The 2-game interleague series is slated to open at 7:08 tonight in Detroit at Comerica Park. The Lexington Legends will return to action tonight at Whitaker Bank Ballpark to conclude a 4-game series against the Greensboro Grasshoppers. Yesterday, the Lexington Ball Club let a 2-0 advantage slip away in the 9th inning, and eventually lost it in the 10th by a score of 4-2. The Legends are looking for a victory to win 3 out of 4 against the Grasshoppers and wrap up their 7-game homestand. Game time is set for 7:05 tonight. After receiving yet another accolade, it's really hard to understand why Morehead State catcher Chris Robinson was passed over during this year's MLB amateur draft. Robinson was named second team All-American by Rawlings and the American Baseball Coaches Association. That's the third All-American team Robinson has been named to this season. Still, MSU coach Mike McGuire thinks Robinson is on his way to playing some pro ball.
You know, sometimes, you know, scouts, you know, think they, you know, have a crystal ball, but, you know, I think sometimes if a guy is, you know, in Chris's case, he's, you know, a little short in stature and so forth, maybe doesn't have the physical look that most professional catchers do, but, you know, at the same time, you can't measure what's in a guy's heart either. So I'm disappointed for him, but I think, you know, it's just another bump in the road for him.
On top of batting over 400 this season, Robinson was also named the OVC Player of the Year. After getting drafted by the New York Yankees in the MLB amateur draft last week, former Morehead State standout Kane Sweeney is getting a taste of pro ball in Florida. Kane was picked up by the Yankees in the 29th round of the draft and was very excited to be drafted by such a prestigious ball club. Now that Kane is in Florida at Yankees camp, he's finding out the way things are done in pinstripes.
Right now, on a daily basis, we're just going through a lot of defensive stuff. We're learning basically the fundamentals of the New York Yankees system. You know, what they want us to do as base runners, as infielders, the hitting approach and all of that.
In Kane's 4 years at MSU, he had 251 hits, 149 runs batted in, 50 doubles, 30 homers, and a .450 on-base percentage. Sweeney also holds the MSU career record for walks with 148 and at-bats at .757. Candy Parker and Jim Wells will be inducted into the Morehead State Athletic Hall of Fame this fall. This award is the ultimate individual accolade our department can award, says Athletic Director Brian Hutchinson, and is pleased to honor them to that list. Parker was a four-year starter from 2000 to 2004, who still ranks first in OVC history in free throw percentage. She also ranks second overall in MSU history with 248 total three-pointers and won the league's 2003-2004 Steve Hamilton Award. Wells is a lifelong Morehead resident who made a significant contributions as a coach, administrator, and supporter. He spent nearly 40 years being directly involved in MSU athletics and currently serves as the official scorekeeper for Morehead State basketball men's and women's home games. While he isn't worried about the shot clock reduction, Morehead State basketball coach Sean Woods is none too thrilled about some of the upcoming changes within the NCAA. Woods says his teams are used to playing fast pace, so losing 5 seconds will not affect much in that regard. However, he is not a fan of the attempts to cut down on fouls and the physicality.
I think the shot clock is one, but calling all these fouls and making all these rules is not going to help at all. Freedom of movement and all that, you know, they can say that all they want. That's just my opinion. But there's still going to be some physicality in the game, and the refs are going to have to call knick-knack fouls, which slows up the game, which allows bad free throw shooting to come into play, and that's why there's not a lot of scoring.
And Woods thinks that will only counter whatever speed the shot clock is supposed to add time to the game. Officials with the Ohio Valley Conference recently returned from Nashville after meetings discussing how they could improve things. One topic that was covered pretty heavily was the use of the ratings percentage index regarding NCAA tournament selection. Morehead State Athletic Director Brian Hutchinson says those discussions got going after Murray State's past season.
You know, this year Murray won 25 straight games and was ranked in the AP final poll going into the tournament and then didn't get in. And so we wanted to look at what those numbers were relative to the teams that did get in at the end and then kind of work backwards from there. How do you improve your opportunity so that you're not worried about it on Selection Sunday that you can get in?
Hutchinson adds there were at least 5 teams in the OVC with RPIs lower than 287, and that can make it hard for other teams to raise their own records. The Chicago Blackhawks can wrap up another Stanley Cup championship tonight as they host Tampa Bay. The Hawks took a 3-2 series lead on Saturday with a 2-1 win in Tampa Bay. Should the Lightning prevail in tonight's game, the 7th and deciding game would be played Wednesday night in Tampa Bay. Chicago is looking for its 3rd Stanley Cup championship in 6 seasons, and if they clinch at home, it will be the first time they've won the Cup on home ice since 1938. That's sports. I'm Michael Gustin, reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle Volleyball will hold a JV and varsity team camp July 11th through 13th for teams of 8 to 12 players. Skill sessions and tournament included. More information from the Eagle Volleyball office at 783-9514 and online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed lower as investors remained anxious over stalled Greece debt talks that sent European markets down today, as well as the upcoming two-day Federal Reserve meeting. The major averages actually paired losses after testing lows hit last week, and at the close of the Dow Industrials show a loss of 107.67 at 17,791.17. The S&P 500 was down 9.68 at 2,084.43, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 21.13 at 5,029.97. New York Stock Exchange breadth was almost 2-1 in favor of losers over winners. United Technologies closed 2.5% lower after news the firm will either spin off or sell its Sikorsky Aircraft Division, which makes Black Hawk helicopters for the U.S. military. In other major stock news, Target closed up 1.2% after drugstore operator CVS Health said it will acquire the retailer's U.S. pharmacy and clinics businesses in a $1.9 billion deal. Cigna closed up 11.7% after spiking intraday more than 17% on news that the health insurer will be rebuffed to take over approach by larger insurer Anthem. Anthem closed up 2.3%. AIG gained more than 1% after a U.S. judge on Monday ruled the federal government does not owe Maurice Hank Greenberg and other shareholders of the company any damages over the company's 2008 bailout. In the Treasury markets today, Treasury yields recovered slightly in late morning trade, with the U.S. 10-year Treasury yield near 2.36% after hitting a low of 2.31%. Outside of developments in the Greece debt talks, of course, the key event will be the Federal Open Market Committee's two-day meeting, which begins tomorrow and concludes Wednesday. And, of course, many people watching the Fed for a sign when the first interest rate hike will take place. And, of course, many market participants think the first hike will be in September. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down $1.02 at $125.48, CSX down 4 cents at $34.71, AEP down 28 cents at $53.65, AK Steel down 20 cents at $4.87, Marathon Petroleum up 3 cents at $51.06, and Community Trust Bank was unchanged at $33.99. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad, operated by the Kentucky Innovation Network at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad is a local and state-supported business incubator for new or startup businesses with consulting services, office spaces, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad can help grow companies, encourage business partnerships, and create jobs. More information at 606-783-9536.
Turning once more to the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, tonight you can expect mostly cloudy skies and a 20% chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms, lows around 70 degrees. Tomorrow it'll be partly sunny, a 60% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms, and highs around 85 degrees. Tomorrow night mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms, and lows around 68. On Wednesday, it'll be partly sunny, another 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, and highs in the upper 80s. That night, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Areas of valley fog will develop towards dawn, and we'll see lows in the upper 60s. On Thursday, it'll be partly sunny with a 40% chance of rain and highs around 88. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of rain and lows around 68. On Friday, it'll be partly sunny with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs again in the mid-80s. Friday night, partly cloudy, a 30% chance of rain and lows in the upper 60s. And on Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, and highs around 85 degrees. It's currently sitting at 85 degrees in Ashland. It's 82 in Flemingsburg, 89 in Inez, and 85 degrees here in Morehead.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joshua Grandison, Braxton Howard, and Michael Gustin. From the Kentucky News Connection, Dan Hyman. From the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark, Tom Latek, and Suzanne Duvall. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.